When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, this is Rudy Sarja from Quiet Riot, and you're listening to Tom and Zeus on the Shout It Out Loud cast.
That's right. We're back with another episode of Dorm Damage, the show where anything and everything is on the table and the table gets smashed. Episode 57 in this week. The true definition of a legend is in the house this week. Zeus, who is joining Dorm Damage this week?
One of the greatest guitarists of all time. Simple as that. Steve Vai.
And let me tell you, people, you know Steve Vai, you love his music, you know who he is. Talking to him, I felt like I was in like a class. So well spoken, so a literal virtuoso. Like, you could just tell that this guy is just like a genius beyond what we can imagine. And a brilliant guest, a ton of fun.
Yeah, can't wait to hear it. So let's get to it.
All right, this week we are honored to have a true legend in the house tonight, the ultimate guitar hero. You know him from his time with David Lee Roth, with Whitesnake, his amazing solo career, and so much more. We're thrilled to welcome the great Steve Vai to the show tonight. Steve, welcome to the show, buddy.
Thank you, guys. Good to be here.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
So I don't even know where to begin because you are such a legend. Legend. And there's so many different aspects of your career that are fascinating, but I want to hit something right off the top because your career is filled of playing with, let's call them big personalities. David Lee Roth, Frank Zappa, David Coverdale. What's the experience like being you and being, I mean, you're no, you know, shy little boy in the background. You're a flashy balls out guitarist too. What was it like working with those three, and any similarities or differences between the three personalities?
Well, I got along with all of them because what I do is I look at that part of their personalities that I really like, and everybody has, you know, very redeeming qualities, and all of them were funny, you know. I mean, Frank Zappa,
I can imagine.
John Bonnet and Coverdale. He's just and Roth. Yeah, they have a great sense of humor, and that's so important. And if you click into that, that's a big part of the equation. Also, you just have to be respectful. You know, these people are artists that have worked their whole life. They've carved great pieces of work, and they found themselves, their unique selves, and they put that on display, and they fought that fight, and they accomplished great things. So you respect that because everybody knows what it feels like to be appreciated for their contribution. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And when it always feels good. So you point that out, and it breaks down so many barriers. So that was what I learned, you know, and I didn't know it the whole time. You know, I could be a real jerk sometimes. As a matter of fact, you know, when the rock star stuff hit, the ego came in the back door, and I was kind of a prima donna, you know. But also, all of those people are very creative, and you key in to that aspect of their personality that's creative. And because all of those situations, they weren't my bands.
Yeah,
right.
I have no problem putting them first. You know, actually it's more comfortable for me when I have my band and I'm touring. I'm first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that means I have to make all the executive decisions on everything, mm-hmm. you know? And that's fine. I'm good at that. I like that. I like doing it for me. But when I'm with someone like, even like Joe, I'm out here with Joe right now.
Yeah. Satriani.
Yeah. I mean, Joe's brilliant. He knows the ropes, and I turn to him, you know, for the executive kind of decision making, which in turn, we're always discussing everything.
Yeah.
With Dave Roth, I discussed everything, but you honor the executive control. And of course, I would never and haven't usually engaged in something that went against my better judgment.
Yeah.
You know, I have at times, and you know, then you experience the results of that and you go, okay, now I know what I don't want to do. You know? So it's very possible to work with all those guys and respect them as the leaders, but also have a high quality no.
Mm. Fair. Okay. Yeah. Steve, I want to ask you about the concept of a term that we don't really hear anymore these days. So Zeus and I, we grew up listening to all kinds of 80s rock, hard rock, metal, hair metal, whatever you want to call it, into the 90s, etc. And we grew up in the era of the Guitar Hero, Eddie Van Halen, Randy Rhoads, you, Joe Satriani, Yngwie, George Lynch, those guys. And it feels like that type of term and that type of persona is not really present at all right now. What's your take on the theory of the Guitar Hero and how that came up and how you guys were such an incredible group of guitar players that kind of took over the world musically, mm-hmm. stage-wise, persona-wise, etc.?
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Pantheon Podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has 3 pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out. Because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with 2 devices at once. New quick charge function, 3 customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode. Available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Hey folks, Stefan Shirazi and Renee Richardson here from the Metallica Report.
And we are proud members of the Pantheon podcast family, where the best of music and podcasts unite.
We've got something pretty cool for you. We're giving away an exclusive Metallica merch package worth over $250.
That's a whole lot of Scary Guys, Skulls, M72, and other sought-after Metallica swag. And we've made it easy for you to win. Follow and share the Metallica Report, and you're in the game. Go to pantheonpodcast.com/Metallica, enter your email, and hit that button to be entered to win.
And just like that, you're eligible for our monthly exclusive Metallica merch package.
And guess what, rockers? You can enter every month. So just do it. And while we love our global brothers and sisters, the lawyers won't let us ship outside the U.S.
Well, there's still guitar heroes, but even more so, but not in the way that you're explaining, because the guitar hero you're referring to is the one that is dominating pop culture.
Right.
Jimi Hendrix dominated pop culture as a guitar player because mm-hmm. what he was doing was extraordinarily new, fresh, but it also was accessible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wrote songs, and because the songs were so great, you know, it didn't matter what you did around them, you know, on the guitar, but also his playing was appropriate for that kind of wide audience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Edward. You know, with Edward was in a rock band that wrote songs that people wanted to hear. And it and the stars had aligned, and he had the gift of being able to turn the guitar into an orchestra for those songs. You know, he, mm-hmm. he carried those songs with that tremendous sound. But it was there's a visceral edge in what he was playing.
Mm-hmm.
It was the perfect balance of accessible, cool. I mean, you heard that stuff. You felt bad. I mean, you felt like a bad dude, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, man, you know, you felt good.
Yeah.
And so when you come across someone like Jeff Beck,
mm-hmm.
it's a different playing field. The music is no less inspired, but the format it's presented in, just it's not that audience of people that are watching the Kardashians, you know, and watching news and watching
accessible. Yeah,
very accessible kinds of pop culture stuff. But would you deny that Jeff Beck was a guitar hero?
Yeah,
of course.
And you get guys like a guy like me. So I like accessible rock music,
mm-hmm.
but I just don't write it. You know, it's when mm-hmm. I go to write it, I can, but I don't, it doesn't feel entirely natural to me because I feel there's something else. You got something sprinkled on you when you were, mm-hmm. you know, in the womb or whatever
mm-hmm.
to do this. So if I'm really going to satisfy myself, I'm going to go into a particular creative brain space, and I'm going to come out with a record like Inviolate, which floats my boat, brother. I love that record.
God bless.
I love that record. I've got on there, you know, the Knapsack, which is the crazy one-hand thing. I got Little Pretty, which is one of the – I just love it so much. I wouldn't trade that song for the greatest hit song in the world. Never.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And how many people are going to hear Little Pretty? You know, it doesn't matter. And like the Hydra, you know, I wouldn't exchange that for anything.
Yeah.
You know, and no, but you know, it's not a hit song. It's not that thing, but it's guitar hero kind of stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
So that is happening now in a very big way because I keep my ear on the, you know, on the club.
Yep.
And I see who's doing what. And there's a whole paradigm shift in guitar, you know, intense guitar playing technique.
Mm-hmm.
And these people that are pioneering it, they're guitar heroes. Now, is it accessible?
That's it.
That's the thing, right?
Is it accessible?
It's a great point.
To a large audience? Nah. For that to happen, you need an individual to come along that has all of these elements in check, and all those boxes are checked. The look, their fashion, how they, their sexuality, you know, how they emote that, their ability to write accessible songs that resonate with the masses, and also to be inspired to write great music, and have some kind of ability on the guitar that is in itself a paradigm shift, like Jimi Hendrix was, like Edward was, you know? So I don't know what that is. It's not like them.
Right, right.
Be like them. And that's the big mistake a lot of people make. Oh, he's like Jimi Hendrix. Yeah, so?
Yeah.
You already had Jimi Hendrix.
You know? Right, right.
You say, well, Edward Van Halen is like Jimi Hendrix. No, he's not.
No, he's not.
No, he is not.
Right, right.
But he's just as important a figure in the guitar pantheons of history. So that person will come along, and they will remake the Guitar Hero again.
Well, I hope so.
But they have to have all those gifts. That's like a perfect storm.
Right.
Jimmy was a perfect storm, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. The funny thing is like, I think you just almost described yourself. Like, you dangled in both worlds. You can do your own solo stuff where you can satisfy yourself creatively and be like, this is the best shit I've done. And then all of a sudden you can go on a massive tour with Whitesnake or jump in with David Lee Roth and do Yankee Rose, which I don't know, those kind of stuff that you do on your own. I don't know if that's the Frank Zappa in you. Like, I don't give a shit what commercial does.
It's the Steve Vai in me.
Perfect.
There you go.
The Frank Zappa was something that I saw and said, that guy's doing a lot of things that I know I'd love to do.
Yeah.
Not the individuality, though. The individuality, the personality would be like, I'm playing for me. And I don't give a fuck if it goes wide, you know, something like that. That's what I mean.
Everybody does that. You guys are doing it right now with this show.
Well, I hope so.
Thank you. Appreciate that. But
it's your choice. And you devised it. It came from your imagination based on your expertise, based on the things that are interesting to you.
Yeah. Very true.
Well, that's certainly you. So I got to share a story with you. There I am. I'm a Van Halen fan. I haven't seen Crossroads yet, so I don't know of you yet. So all of a sudden, David Lee Roth comes out with this song that is like the best song, best Van Halen song that's never done by them. But with this guitarist that, you know, I'm a Van Halen fan. I don't want David Lee Roth to win. Who the fuck is this guy? I couldn't keep my eyes off of you. I'm going to tell you as a fan. I'm like, it was one of these things. The listeners of our show know that there are certain things that I always try to deny. Like, I don't want to like Metallica. I don't want to like Thrash. And then I'm like, fuck, I like this shit. I can't help it. The same thing when I saw you. I was just like, who the fuck is this guy spinning his guitar, doing these things? Oh, my God, he's competing with Eddie Van Halen. He's probably better. Fuck. Did you feel like that competition or feel the fans like trying to get you into a sort of a rivalry with Eddie? Because that's how I felt, even though you didn't say anything. It just felt like, holy shit, where did David Lee Roth get this guy? And he's amazing. And I couldn't keep my eyes off of you. And any video you ever did with David Lee Roth and going forward, amazing stuff. So did you feel that pressure?
No. I didn't give a shit what Edward did. I knew that I was going to get in there and tear those songs a new asshole.
Nice.
Wow.
That was the attitude I had. You know, it was a punky, youthful kind of an attitude. My respect and admiration for Edward was beyond.
Yeah.
I loved him. I don't think I'm a better guitar player or anything like that. That's immaterial. It doesn't matter. What I knew was I had to be the best I could. I had to raise my own bar, and I had to raise the bar of the entire collective environment of the music. And I couldn't think about competing because it's stupid to try to compete with Edward. You can't, you know. I mean, he was Edward, you know. Man, so much respect, so much love. But I didn't give a shit what he did. You know, I knew that I wanted to respect the guitar parts, and they're beautiful guitar parts. They're amazing. Edward's parts are fantastic, and I can't sound like him. And you don't want me to try.
Right.
You got your own style that we all love.
I'm not that guy. You know, I did my best because I know I loved the music just like the fans. And I loved Edward like the fans did. So I wanted to respect that and play the music. But that other wild part of me is just like, okay, that's fine and good. But you're going to fucking kick ass, Vi.
Yeah.
Better just kick ass. So. then my ego blew up and I was spinning the guitar around my head.
Yes.
As you said,
like a guitarist that oozes like sexuality and badass and balls. It was just, who the fuck is this guy? And it just blew my mind. So kudos to you.
I will tell you this. The fans were very good to me. I didn't feel like I was, of course you're being compared. That's like that. You can't help that, because when you hear Dave Roth's voice, you know, the first thing you know, it is with Edward behind it. So I knew I'd be compared, but I also had faith that people would realize that that's not Edward. And Edward isn't this guy. So what's there? And how good is it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's great.
It's great.
That's the way I moved. And I didn't really, I did not feel like I was hated. Even as if I didn't even feel like I didn't belong. Mm-hmm. You know, the fans made me, they made me feel like I belonged. They also, you know, I didn't need them to tell me this, but I knew it, that Edward was Edward.
Yep.
And you can't touch him, Vi, you know?
Right.
And that's okay. And I respect and I love that, but I'm like, I don't want to touch him.
Yeah.
We'll touch this, you know?
Yep. Yeah. Steve, we know your time is very tight. I want to get in one question here. We talk about Kiss here a lot. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you had, and you put your hand over your heart for our people who are listening right now. You had a fantastic and very touching post back in December when Kiss was doing their final show in Madison Square Garden. Tell our fans, you know, it's funny, as Kiss fans, we talk about a lot of times how we hold our band sacred because they get bashed and they get shit on and picked on and bullied, etc. When Steve Vai comes out and takes the time to post such an incredible tribute to them, I think Kiss fans like us are like, God damn it. Yeah, they are that good. Talk to us a little bit about what Kiss meant to you, like what Ace Frehley means as a guitarist, just in general, if you can.
Well, that there's another perfect storm, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what I respond to in an artist is not just the quality of the music, but their confidence, you know, how they created their vision and they just stuck to it no matter what. Mm-hmm. They didn't care. And Kiss is a prime example, you know, and it's so, and when I was young and listening to Kiss, it just represented a freedom and that nothing else was offering. It was great music. The melodies and the chords were, they work. That's one of the reasons they survived.
Mm-hmm.
Because the music is good music. It's got melody. It's got attitude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I used to play all that music in my high school band. I went to see Kiss at the Calderon Concert Hall. I don't know, maybe I was 14 or 15. And I took film. I actually have film.
Don't let Gene find out about it.
Oh, they already contacted me.
Okay.
And I said, if I find it, because it's buried in the attic someplace, and it's not very good.
Yeah.
You know, because they just like to collect stuff for posterity. And one day I got to go find it and send it to them. But that band just represented confidence, attitude, spit and fire. And every one of them seemed absolutely perfect. I was so in love with Ace. Now you'd say, "What, Steve Vai? What are you in love with Ace Frehley?" You, because people think that I qualify other musicians based on how they shred or something like that. It's not like that. I know a lot of shredders that I just can't stand to listen to, you know. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of shredders that, boy, that, you know, I don't want to hear anybody else, you know.
Yeah.
But Ace was just so perfectly suited, and he had such great tone in his fingers, and just played the right parts. And just recently, I was watching, I think it was, there's this great full show, Kiss show from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Texas. It was just amazing. Me and my wife were just watching this whole concert, just... first of all, to be able to move around like that in those shoes,
Exactly.
Forget it, and play the sound. And I'm a stickler. They're in tune. They're singing in tune. The guitars, Paul's guitar, it's like a rock rhythm guitar that belongs. It's got a stick of dynamite in it, and it works. From here hitting those chords, they're in tune. This is like remarkable. I can't do that. I mean, you know, if I come down that hard on a chord, it's gone.
Yeah. But,
and Gene, and I know them all personally, except Ace. I've never met Ace.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
But I've toured with Gene and Paul, and I just like those guys. They're funny. Yeah. Gene is one of the funniest guys I know, you know, just because he's Gene, you know?
Yeah, of course.
But I'll tell you, there's one thing, and I'm sure if there are Kiss fans that are listening, I don't know if they've heard or if you're familiar with Soul Station.
Oh, yes. Yeah, of course.
I'm telling you, this sounds crazy. That record, when I heard that years ago, my wife and my guitar tech are so in love with it. Every night, that's the music in our kitchen. And when we go on trips or something, it's Soul Station.
Really?
Yeah, I can't... It's
a great record.
We were surprised.
Yeah.
Production's amazing on it.
The production is amazing. I was so happy for Paul when I heard that record because it sounded like this was a dream of his.
Totally.
And he finally, you know, he had all the money to do it right. But I can't believe how well he sings on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at that point, I thought, I wonder, you know, because, you know, the voice is a very precarious thing through time. It doesn't play nice, you know.
Well, I think his voice is suited. Yeah, his voice is more suited for that than the Kiss screaming that he was doing the last 10 years. Yeah. So I think he found his little niche there, and he loves the music, and it obviously shows.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. We still listen to it all the time. It's so well done.
That's
historical
amazing.
Melody. He really rose to the occasion and did something that I think is just brilliant there.
That's awesome.
The last thing I want to leave you with is we had a couple of your former bandmates on recently. One is the great Graham Bonnet. I love him. Super. And he's still killing it. His voice is still there, too.
Yeah.
And Rudy Sarzo.
Mm-hmm.
And Rudy was on as well. I love the all these bands and stuff. Did you have a favorite of those bands that you played in, whether it be Alcatraz, Whitesnake, David Lee Roth's band, anything like when you were in a band, an ensemble that you liked that? Not that you didn't dislike others, but favorite time period.
Well, there's something about all of them that was great.
Yeah.
You know, if I had a kind of point to the wildest, definitely Dave Roth.
Yeah,
of course.
I mean, all of a sudden, you know, I went from Frank to, well, working with Graham through Alcatraz was nice. But never really had an opportunity to tour so much. We did a couple of shows. But once I was with Dave Roth, it was like you wake up one day and you're just a rock star, you know, I'm playing these every arena in the country. And the extracurricular activity.
That's a creative way to say it.
there's nothing. People say, people imagine what it was like.
You don't know.
You had to be there and you had to be that fly on the wall.
That's so cool.
Yeah. It was unbelievable. And those, there, it was fun. It was kind of like professional wrestling. Where, you know, it looks real, but wink, wink, nudge, nudge, you know. But it was real. All the stuff was happening. Yeah.
That's so great.
But it was so over the top that you just have to be ready for it. Because you can get sucked into it, the partying, the backstage scene, the parties, just insane, you know. And of course, when you have, when any kind of drug or alcohol or sex, whatever, is completely at your disposal, and all of a sudden you're making a lot of money, you have to be careful.
Yeah.
You know, sure. That you, it's all, I kept it all at arm's length and, you know, I dabbled, but for me, it was always, and I, you know, I dabbled in a lot of stuff, but at the end of the day, it was about, okay, I have a melody and it has to come out and that's it.
Yeah.
So anything that obstructed that, drugs, alcohol, complex life with sex or something like that, relationships, I just avoided.
Steve, before we let you go, tell everybody where they can find you when you're on tour. You just announced a new tour covering the music of King Crimson with the great Danny Carey from Tool, probably the greatest, one of the greatest, if not the greatest living drummer right now, in my opinion. I'm a drum guy and a guitar guy. Obviously we have you, but tell everybody where they can find you and what you're up to next before we let you get out of here.
Well, my Instagram account, we use, everything goes through that. I've got all the socials, my website, vi.com. Mm-hmm. It's not so hard. You just type in, what's Steve Vai doing these days?
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this beat tour, too.
Yeah, awesome. Should be great. Well, he's the great Steve Vai. We are honored and thrilled to have had him tonight. Unbelievable conversation. Steve, thank you so much for your time. We know you're on a tight schedule, and we truly appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Doing great stuff.
Appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks. Tom, that was Steve Vai. Thoughts?
Fantastic. I love when we have guys like this on that, you know, you elevate them so high as they deservedly should be. And then when we have conversations with them, they're so kind and thoughtful and responsive to questions. And he was amazing. First of all, just an absolute thrill to talk to him, but just to have the interview that we had with him, it was great. And I hope everybody enjoyed it as much as we did.
Yeah, I know it's a broken record about guests that we have and how they surprise us and how, you know, how nice they are. This guy is beyond super nice.
Yeah.
So the funny thing is we had to reschedule him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And his manager, who's great, his name is Steven, his publicist, moved us from like a Friday to a Tuesday. And on a Friday, I got a thing from Zoom says Steve Vai has joined your conversation. I'm like, what the fuck? We're not going today.
Uh-oh.
And I'm texting Tom. Hey, dude, Steve just jumped. And while I'm texting him, my phone rings and it's a California number. And I'm like, what the? Hello? It's like, hey, is this Tom or Zeus? This is Steve Vai. Listen, guys, I'm so sorry. I ran a little late. I'm like,
Steve Vai on the phone.
Yeah. And as I explained to him, like, no, your man, you know, he got changed. He's like, oh man, I had another interview go a little bit longer. I'm sorry. Then I'm like, this guy's way too nice.
Yeah. And
I don't get it.
Even when we went live with him again, he apologized for the inconvenience and the miss.
I'm like,
you know,
what?
Like, dude, you're too nice. You're too kind. You're too brilliant. And he was great. He was great. And
the last thought I want to say is, like, how about his comments on Kiss and Paul Stanley's solo album,
Amazing
Soul Station?
I love it. It doesn't surprise me that somebody like Steve Vai, and we love Soul Station too, but it doesn't surprise me that Steve Vai, just such a musical guy, an educated guy, loves that album and respects that album.
Wow. Anyway, till next time, peace out, Girl Scout.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.